We're continuing to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. I thought that I would get through these in no more than 2 weeks, but it's turned out it's taken me, you know, it might end up taking me 8 or 9 weeks to get through them, but because we're doing pretty much one a Sunday morning. So today we're going to talk about, you're not in Galatians, but the fifth one down is gentleness. And gentleness and kindness, really, it's the same word. But anyway, let me look here at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, and there's this word kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as God forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, I think you probably know this verse, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's the love chapter, and again, you'll notice in verse number 4, charity suffer long and is what? What's the next word? Kind. Charity suffers long and it's kind. And then I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Where it says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we're talking about gentleness, and we're talking about kindness. We've talked about love, love for God and others, the sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without any thought of return. And we've talked about self-love. And so that is the willful or unwillful giving of yourself to other people with selfish thoughts of return. What's in this for me? We talked about joy, a peaceful, calm delight in all of the circumstances of life, or you can respond with frustration. We've talked about peace, that is to feel safe from harm and worry in your spirit and in your mind and in your heart. And then, of course, the opposite of that is worry. Some people are just worriers. And then we talked last Sunday about long-suffering. That is to be patient with the shortcomings of other people. And some of these fruits are not the easiest ones to surrender to, but we are to surrender to all of them. And the opposite of long-suffering is quick-tempered. So some people have this quick-tempered thing where they just, doesn't take much to knock it off. So this morning, we talk about gentleness or kindness. I'm going to use those words interchangeably. Gentleness is softness in manners. Softness is coupled with manners, and you know what that equals? It equals mildness. A fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and kindness and mildness. Our manners are to be the way we act, our behavior, our demeanor, the way we conduct ourselves. I assume you do. But do you know anybody who's mild-mannered? Soft, gentle. You know, they're just kind of nice kind of people to be around. How about the opposite? People that are, not very long-suffering and not very kind. And they're not as nice to be around. Now, we're not talking about the manners that people have at the dinner table. That's not the kind of manners we're talking about. But the manner of mildness is we face our day-to-day responsibility. You know, you can learn to be a mild, gentle person if you submit to the Spirit of God. Because mild means tender. A person under the influence of the Spirit then will act and respond in a tender and mannerly way. Ever see those shows? They're like military shows. Or maybe you were in the military. And somebody, the instructor for drill instruction, he gets right in your face and screaming and hollering, Bill, did they do that when you were in the military? Yeah. Okay, see, that's not gentle, and that's not kind, and that's not mild. So I hope you aren't that extreme, okay? But this would be kind of the opposite. My pastor in Ohio, Dr. Bruce Cummins, he's gone home to be with the Lord several years ago now, was probably the most mild, gentle person I had ever met in my life. We had two men in our church. They've both passed away now. And I had the privilege to know them for years and years. Al Suits and Art Buck, they were two of the kindest, softest, gentlest people, some of you are going like this because you remember them, people, men, I had ever met. And I thought, you know, if some of that would just rub off on me a little bit more, it would be a good thing. But they were just terrific people. Joyful, excuse me, kind, considerate, patient. They're good listeners. They were three of the three men that were that way, probably better than any other men I've ever met in my life. Pastor Paul Kingsbury is also known as a very gentle and mild-mannered person. One of his sons, Joey was diagnosed with leukemia 1 month after he had graduated from high school. Pastor Paul was gone, and he couldn't return home for 5 days, so that was like he wanted to be home but couldn't be there. And then, when he returned, he faced a couple other tragedies. One of his deacons in the church was told that he had cancer and that he only had 4 weeks to live. So his son's got leukemia, which is a cancer. He comes home 5 days later, finds out one of his deacons got cancer and only has 4 weeks to live. And then a couple in the church was involved in a motorcycle accident, and the wife was killed in the accident. And that accident, Brother Paul said, really shook the church. So the following Wednesday night, he's taking prayer requests. And for most of the church, they were hearing of those three other things for the very first time. And Brother Currington relayed this story. He said, I watched as our pastor, as he led the service, took prayer requests, how he listened to so many people with their prayer requests that really paled in comparison to the heartaches that he was facing. And then he said he preached with a soft spirit, and he preached with all of his heart. Later, as the people were coming to the pastor, a lot of times you'll notice after a service, there's several people that are in line to see me for whatever reason. And sometimes they're very serious, and other times they're not as serious. But anyway, Brother Steve said he was the third one in line. And he goes, the two people in front of me, their problems were very petty compared especially to what the pastor was under at that particular time. And they brought them to the pastor with seemingly no regards to the burdens that he was carrying. And then Steve said, yet all the while, he looked at them, he listened, he smiled, and he tried to help them, and he tried to encourage them. He said the pastor then walked up to him, gave him a big old hug, and asked him about the problems that Steve was having with his own ministry. And, you know, you stand back and you wonder how in the world people can do that. Actually, they can't do that. That's a God thing. So I graduated in Bible college in 87. So it was before that. But our pastor came to the pulpit one night, and I'm looking at him, and I said, there's something wrong. I don't know what it was. I said, but there's something wrong here. Well, later that week, I found out. But he didn't say a word about it. His mannerism was just as soft and just as sweet and just as kind and just as gentle as ever. And I consider him my hero in the faith, by the way. But anyway, we found later in the week that his son-in-law had physically abused the pastor's daughter. And yet he came to church, he functioned normally, and it was, wow. I said, that's not, so how does a man do that? They're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I had ideas of what we might want to do to his, you know, obviously that couple ended up in a divorce, but I had ideas of maybe what we ought to do to his former son-in-law, but nobody did seem to want to take my advice on that. But by the way, that is just an awful, awful things when things like that happen. When we're confronted with adversity, a person is able to face their responsibilities and conduct themselves in a tender, mannerly way. That's the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness or kindness. That is God acting and responding to the circumstances of life through us. That's the fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about here today, gentleness. So, in some people, so I, you know, they, like, oh, you don't understand all of my problems. Like, you know, they come into church, and on the way here, they had a flat tire, and they're 10 minutes late, and it's the worst thing in the world. Or a lady gets dressed in the morning, and she pulls her nylons on, and they end up with a big old run in them. It's like, oh, I can't believe this is happening to me. Listen, there are worse problems in the world than that. Some people really do go through some very difficult things. Now, and then there's people that are just, they're just mean. How do we respond gentle to them? How is it? Well, you make a decision to forgive people of their seemingly insensitive things that they do to other people. It can be easy to become an abrasive to people that you perhaps, maybe you don't like their temperament, you don't like their personality, or you suppose their problems are really petty, and they can be very petty, but you know, to them, especially if it's a young person, to them it might not be petty. To them it might be pretty important. Now as a pastor, all pastors, I would assume, all true pastors would be this way. You want to see people prosper. And when they fall, or when they don't grow in the Lord, you really do want to help them. But sometimes they just want to talk about their problems and do nothing about them. And sometimes it can be a little bit frustrating. And then maybe you can relate to that in other ways. But it can be easy after dealing with the same issue over and over and over and over again if you maintain a gentle spirit, a forgiving spirit, if you exercise long-suffering, patient with the shortcoming of others, which is absolutely critical that we do that. Now, I will tell you this. I'm not saying that I've attained at all of these things. I had a man in my office once, and for about, I don't know, a few weeks, I gave him a simple assignment that I expected him to do. I mean, it was simple. He came in about 3 or 4 weeks later, and I said, "Oh, what'd you come up with? How'd you do that?" "Well, I'm still thinking about it." And that's all he said. And I just like, "You know what?" I said, "Here's what I want you to do." Now, I've only ever done this once in my life, so, you know, if you want to come in, I probably will never do it to you. But I said to him, "Here's what I want you to do." And I told him exactly what it was, a very simple thing. I says, "And don't come back to my office until you actually do that." And now I think back about that, and I said, was that gentle? Or was it what really needed to be said? Thank you. But it's like, sometimes, you know, it would be nice if people would take your advice when you give it to them, would it not? And it would be nice if they would take the pastor's advice when he gives it to them once in a while too, by the way. But I can't say that I've attained. I do as I study. I look for new ways to help people. We want to see people succeed. I've seen women bitter at their husband for their continued defeat with the same problem over and over and over. And they're not long-suffering. They're not gentle. They're not forgiving. And that can be a problem. She was mean. I've seen women just criticize their husband over and over and over again. That's not gentle. Look back there at Ephesians 4. I'm still there in my Bible, but look at verse 31. Now notice what it says. "But let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And it says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Then people say something like, "Well, Pastor, you don't live with my husband. You don't live with my wife. You don't live with my child. You don't live with my kids. You don't have the boss I have, and you don't have the job I have." And you're right, but I know what it says. I know it says the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering and is gentleness, and I know it says be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I know those things. I might not know your problems, but I know what the Bible says, how we're supposed to respond to our problems. Disappointment in your husband or your wife or your children or your boss or your job or your co-workers, disappointment is not a sin. There was a young man in my office earlier this past week, and there was a simple job that somebody else was supposed to do, and the guy never did it. So he was gone. He took a day off, and then he came back to work. And everything that the guy was supposed to do was still laying there. He goes, "Boy, Pastor, I was unhappy. I kind of gave him a piece of my mind about that." But you are supposed to take your responsibility seriously as well. But, so I don't know that, in that situation, he gave me the whole situation. I don't know that he responded wrongly. But here's what does happen. Sometimes when you respond with gentleness and long-suffering to people, they can have the tendency to take advantage of you. It is just the way that it is. And you have to be careful in your heart. And I'm not, that's not right, and I know that. But you have to be careful in your heart that you don't get bitter and angry and malice and all of those things. So as you look at these verses, it says bitterness. Bitterness is compressed feelings that build up inside of you, and you're just bitter. I'm going to tell you something. I have never seen a successful Christian who's had any bitterness in their life, and I don't think I ever will. Bitterness is a tool of the devil that he uses on so many people and kills so many relationships. It's unbelievable. Wrath. Wrath is like feelings of getting even. Somebody's got to pay here, and I'm going to get even. Anger. Anger can be passions of the mind that are very negative. Clamor is just now they're at the point where they're very argumentative. Evil speaking, like gossip. You know, some people gossip about their own family members, their teenagers, their husbands, their wives, their moms, their dads. They just gossip. That's evil speaking. Malice. Malice is worse yet. That's a desire for physical injury. But notice it says, but we're to put all of those things off and because they grieve the Holy Spirit, verse 30 we didn't read. But it says, and be kind one to another. There's that word kindness. Gentleness, softness in manners. Be kind one to another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kind one to another is an outward demonstration of gentleness, kindness. Tender-hearted one to another is an inward demonstration of gentleness. Your mind doesn't think about all these negative things about people. And then forgiving one another, you do that, that's an upward thing. That's an upward demonstration of gentleness. Now, I want you to see something. How long-suffering and gentleness go together. Now, those first six things are actions and reactions that are not mild-mannered. In fact, they are just the opposite of being mild-mannered. But what if there's something wrong? You can say it in a nice way. Over there in Proverbs 15, it says something like this. A soft answer turneth away wrath. It was the kind of answer. You ever hear somebody say, it's not what you said, it's how you said it? There's a lot of truth in that. You don't have to blow up in people's faces, get in their grill, so to speak, and scream and holler like you're nuts. Okay, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Now, the devil has a work of the flesh. So maybe you can figure this out real quick. If it's not soft and it's not gentle and it's not kind and you hear people talk this way, there's a game for this. Is this charades? No, I guess it's not. Never mind. Forget what I said. What am I thinking about? The word harshness. So maybe you know somebody that's gentle, but maybe you know somebody that's harsh. They just come across harsh. Now, when you read the first couple of verses, maybe just the first verse in 1 Corinthians 13, if your words aren't covered with charity, they're nothing but useless noise. Now, it doesn't use the word noiseless, useless noise there, but it you can go back and read it. It certainly refers to that. We're to be people that are not harsh. We're to be mild-mannered people. But the devil always has something that is the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, and it is the fruit of the flesh, and in this case, it's harshness. Now, when you look at verse 31 in Ephesians chapter 4, you can explain how most people react to those who they feel are violating them somehow. Those right there. If we fight back, If we tell other people off, if we argue or get violently passionate or attempt revenge or even suppress our feelings, we don't possess gentleness. Now, I'm not saying you can't confront people, you can't tell people the truth. You ought to be able to confront people, but you ought to be able to confront people in a soft, gentle, mild way without going crazy all over them. Unfortunately, because we still have our sinful nature, you know, the blood pressure within us starts to boil and it starts to rise up a little bit. And so sometimes we're harsh. We could probably say the same thing as it says in Proverbs with a soft answer and be way more effective. The dictionary says harshness is roughness in manner or temper or words. So it's just roughness. So I mentioned earlier, do you know anybody that's gentle? Do you know anybody who's rough? And I mean just rough and hard and cold. You can get to where you dislike everybody and everything in your relationships and in your responsibilities if you get that way. If we act on those desires, other people, they may not even like us. They might not even want to be around us. And you got to wonder, can you really blame them? You want to be around somebody that's harsh all the time, rough all the time, nasty all the time, mean all the time, hard with their voice all the time? That's no fun to be around people like that. Harsh personalities are not enjoyed. In the matter of fact, they can destroy relationships. Now let's look at Psalm 18, verse 35. Now, I want you to notice the last phrase in this. He said, thou hast also given me thy shield of thy salvation. That's a blessing. And thy right hand hath holden me up. Praise the Lord. And now I want you to notice this now. And thy gentleness has made me great. What made him great? Specifically, whose gentleness? That's right. God's gentleness. See, that's a person that's filled with the Holy Spirit. They have God's gentleness about them, and it said, your gentleness has made me great. I always considered my pastor, I mentioned earlier, my spiritual hero in the faith, and one of the reasons was he had so much grace and so much gentleness about him, it was almost awestrucking how he could be that way, and always calm and cool and collected. So we had a large church, and we used to run probably, I don't know, 6-8 buses for our bus ministry in picking up kids. And you know, bus kids do what bus kids do. So we had this fire alarm, and it was connected to the fire station in town. So one of the bus kids pulls the fire alarm in church. Pastor stepped, he didn't get mad. Of course, we're live on the radio too, maybe that made a difference. He stepped back, and everybody's kind of freaking out. He says, that's probably a bus kid. But we do have to vacate the auditorium and the church, go out in the parking lot. And the fire department will be coming, but it doesn't mean anything's on fire. They just automatically respond. But we're live on the radio, so I'm going to just finish preaching the sermon while you guys are out in the parking lot. Okay, you're dismissed. That's all he did. Calm, cool, collected all the time. By the way, it turned out it was a bus kid. He thought he would do it for a prank, which, quite honestly, if you're a 12-year-old bus kid and you got everybody in the world's attention in church that day, it was a good prank. To everybody else, not so much. But just always gentle, soft. He didn't get angry at the kid, never got mad at him. The bus director probably had to take care of that part of it, but whatever. But gentle people are a joy to be around. And if you're filled with the Spirit of God, it says that God's gentleness will make you great. Harsh people are not considered nice people to be around. God wants me to respond in a gentle way when faced with tough decisions. Now, here's what happens. Pastor, I just can't help it. I believe that is a lie of the devil. You can help it. You can exercise temperance, which is self-control, which we haven't got that far yet, but you can help it. Nobody has to blow up. I don't have to blow up when I blow up. Never. It doesn't have to happen. I've assumed this, that when that happens in my life, I'm not under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not filled with the Spirit of God at that moment. That's why I said filling happens over and over, and sometimes we have to ask the Spirit of God over and over, sometimes throughout the day, to fill us with the Holy Spirit. You can help it. I can help it. We don't have to submit to the fruit of the flesh harshness. We just don't have to do that. And I'll remind you again what it said in Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. So we respond to the Spirit. Under the leadership of the Lord, we can respond gently and not harshly. Now, probably, for those that struggle with that more than others, this won't just fall away overnight. Turn to James chapter 3. It just won't fall away overnight. But as you yield to the Spirit of God, and as you build a tower of truth, and you start memorizing all these Bible verses, or at least know the principles of them, James chapter 3, you'll be able to get victory over that harshness. And some people say, well, it's my personality. Yeah, I understand that. But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, your weaknesses can become strengths. So notice what it said in verse 17 of James chapter 3. You know, there is a sermon in this verse. Watch this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good works, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. There's 8 points in one verse right there. Did you see where it said the wisdom from above is peaceable and gentle, without partiality? Did you see those? Don't some of these things sound an awful like a lot what you read about over in Galatians 5 when you read about the fruit of the Spirit? They're kind of the same. They kind of overlap. Now, that might be a far cry from our actions and reactions to somebody, whose personality or temperament you just don't like. So, you ever hear someone say, or maybe you said this, you know, a little of him goes a long way, or a little of her goes a long way. Well, maybe they're not the full problem. Maybe the problem, some of the problem is us. Maybe we're not gentle in our mannerism and kind in our mannerism. And I just think that we could get along with most people if we really tried. I think that's a possibility. Our harshness is often a result of being offended. You work hard to help people, and if they don't do what you advise them to do, you might get offended. If you take that personally, it can destroy you and your mood and your manners. And if you're a leader, like pastors are, and some of you in that are sitting here, you're a leader. Gina, you run up the co-op, and John, you're head of RU, and Chris, you run Rahab, and all these different ministries that we have going on at church in different places. There's times when people disappoint you. It is what it is. And we're supposed to just be gentle in our mannerisms and kind and soft and gentle and try to lead people to do the right thing. Of course, it always makes it easier when you're forgiving, Second Timothy, and also when you're long-suffering with the shortcomings of other people, and it just makes life a whole lot nicer. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. You know, I put a cough drop in my mouth quite a bit before Sunday school, and it's still there. I'm trying to talk with that in there, but it'll be gone here in a little while. I hope. Verse 24, 2 Timothy 2. And the servant of the Lord, which technically speaking, that's all of us, but in this particular text, it really is leaders. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but he's to be what? Gentle. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God pre-eventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. I said we want people to succeed, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now that's what it says. You would think, let me back up a little bit. I'd think to teach in a gentle way without having to work hard, no need to get all worked up, must be referring to people who are easy to work with, just a joy all the time, people who don't require hard work because, you know, they respond to the gentleness and patient teaching and all that. That's not what it says. It would be nice and easy to be gentle to that group of people. But that isn't what it says. Look who it said there. You can read that again. Those who oppose themselves, to those who harm themselves, or those who seem to not care if they follow your teaching or not. You're to be gentle to those people. Do you see that? Then there are those who need to respond to the truth that we are giving them, but often refuse. And what are they? They're snared. They're entrapped by the devil. And again, we're to be gentle with those people. There are certain things that entrap people. I'll use pornography as an illustration. It's a sin. Men fall into it. Women fall into it anymore. And often go back into a few times before they completely come and find freedom with that. Alcohol, cursing, tobacco, any habitual sin, or maybe even an addiction from video games. The people, they get out and they go back and they get out and they go back and they get out and they go back. We must be willing to teach them in a patient, gentle fashion. And then it's not hard to work with those and try to help them, because we're going to be yielded to the Spirit of God and to the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness or kindness, gentle, soft, and mannerism. And by the grace of God, Paul goes on and says, might see them come to repentance that will bring them out of that captivity. Well, how long is it going to take? I got no idea. I worked with a woman on pornography for like a long time. I didn't know that she was ever going to come free. But praise God, she did. She finally did. I was like, I don't know what else to say. But you know what? God delivered her finally. And I'm going to say it was over a year on one sin. It all fit into one category. One sin. It's just sometimes we have to be patient with people, even trying to help them come to freedom and get out of their sinful habits that they might be in. And by the grace of God, that happened that time, came out of entrapment and was set free. By forgiving people, like it tells us to do in Ephesians 4, it tells us that if you start with forgiveness, watch this, think about this. If you start with forgiveness, you'll never end up in bitterness. If you automatically are programmed in your thinking, in your spiritual makeup, that you're going to forgive people no matter what happens, you'll never get bitter at them. It would be impossible to get bitter at them. You might be disappointed in them. Disappointment's not a sin. But you wouldn't get bitter at them. To show an outward demonstration of gentleness, to be kind to one another, we must begin by forgiving the person who it is that's offended us somehow. You'll never be kind to anybody until you can forgive them all. It never will. It won't happen, because it'll always be in the back of your mind. By the way, a forgiveness leads in a great way to tenderheartedness and then to be kind one toward another. And when we forgive, we get a tender heart, and then we can be kind one to another. One last passage, it's just a page or two, Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is also one of the pastoral epistles. Paul says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. We're to be gentle. We're to be kind. We're to be mild-mannered people. And we are not to be harsh. That doesn't mean we can't be strong leaders, but that's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want you to think about something. Can you think about somebody in your life that you're bitter at? I don't care who it is. Make a difference. Doesn't matter who it is. You know what you need to do? You need to forgive them. And you need to surrender to the Holy Spirit, long-suffering, gentleness, and you need to be very patient with the shortcomings of others, because you've already forgiven them. And let God work in their heart. That's what we have to do. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be buddy-buddy all the time, perhaps. As if it's your neighbor or somebody, I don't know. You might not be best friends. But don't you want to win some of those people to the Lord? So, you know, you're not going to win anybody to the Lord if you're hateful and harsh and mean toward them. It's just not going to happen. We have to be gentle. Father, as we try to learn the fruit of the Spirit, and, you know, they keep building on and building on and building on, and there's even four more that we haven't looked at. It is my goal, I don't know about anybody else's, but I know it's my goal to be filled with the Spirit of God more often than I'm not. It is to walk in the Spirit, to walk in obedience, contentment, gratefulness, thankfulness. And so, Lord, we just, we surrender ourselves to you. And I pray that every person here would long to be able to respond biblically to every circumstance and every situation that they find themselves in. God, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll get ready for church.